This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. At about 8:10 on Saturday morning, as residents and tourists across Hawaii were rolling out of bed or sitting down to a weekend breakfast, going on their runs, all of a sudden, cell phones lit up with notifications. The screen on those cell phones read, "Ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill." Well, soon, radios and televisions interrupted programming.
The U.S. Pacific Command has detected a missile threat to Hawaii. A missile may impact on land or sea within minutes. This is not a drill.
It was the scariest 45 minutes of my life yesterday.
That's Michelle Gerdstein there, a Takeaway listener in Kaneahe, Oahu.
Nowhere to run or hide. Called my son in Austin to tell him how much I loved him. And was planning on staying on the phone until the end.
For many people across Hawaii, panic. For others, they didn't take the warnings nearly as seriously, or in some cases, didn't hear them at all.
Everybody's got panic, you know. And then the first thing I said, you know, did you hear from Pearl Harbor?
When I got the alert, we were thinking like people just playing around. But some of the customers were so panicked. Yeah. Then that's the time I started to believing in it. So I called my son and called my husband and then called my boss. And she was just telling me to just calm down and pray.
Well, actually, I heard it. I went downstairs for smoke cigarette, drink my coffee. And I seen everybody just beep, 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 just running around. And I just started laughing. Why? No sirens went off. Why panic?
Voices there of residents across Hawaii speaking with Ku'uwehi Hirayashi from Hawaii Public Radio. Well, within about 10 minutes, state officials took to social media to reassure the public that it was all just a false alarm. But it took about 38 minutes for Hawaii Emergency Management formally to revoke the alert.
So the account we were given of Saturday morning at first was that this was an error caused by an errant employee during a shift change at the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency.
That's Ankit Panda, senior editor of The Diplomat and an international affairs analyst focusing on the Asia Pacific. He says this type of error is the result of a state scrambling to reinstate systems that haven't been in place since the Cold War.
Basically, an employee clicked a button that they weren't supposed to click. That's what we were told initially. Upon further investigation, it appeared that this was maybe a case of simply bad government software design. It emerged that two alert buttons, one saying test missile alert and one saying missile alert, appeared next to each other on a menu. And the employee, in a rush, instead of clicking test missile alert, accidentally chose missile alert. And apparently there weren't any safeguards or any requirement to confirm that this is what they really wanted to do before the alert went out to hundreds of thousands of people and ruined their Saturday morning.
What happened today was totally unacceptable, and many in our community was deeply affected by this, and I'm sorry for that pain and confusion that anyone might have experienced.
That's Hawaii Governor David Waiige trying to calm a frazzled and worried population. Hawaii has been preparing for a possible attack since tensions began to rise between the United States and North Korea. The state's been testing monthly air raid drills, but this alert felt all too real for a lot of people. Hawaii State Representative Matthew Lopresti gave a grim account of Saturday's events on CNN.
I live in an area where if they hit what they were aiming at, we're in the hot zone for radioactive fallout. So we took shelter immediately in the most inner room of our home. I was sitting in the bathtub with my children saying our prayers.
It would only take about 30 minutes, possibly even less, for a real missile to reach Hawaii from North Korea. And if a true alert were sent out, residents would have as little as 12 minutes to prepare themselves. So what went wrong, and what does it tell us about how prepared or unprepared we are for a real catastrophe? We're going to answer that question next with Ankit Panda from The Diplomat. Ankit says a false alarm like this isn't unprecedented, and it could have been a lot worse.
I mean, I think the worst possible scenario, but one that we knew pretty quickly wasn't the case, would be some sort of sensor malfunction. And this is the kind of stuff that, you know, was the stuff of nightmares in the Cold War. For example, in 1979, then National Security Advisor to President Carter, Zbigniew Brzezinski, was woken up at 3 a.m. in the morning by an aide told that hundreds of Soviet missiles were incoming, and he had to make a decision right then. So he actually instructed the U.S. bomber force to begin preparing for an attack before he double-checked his own instincts, asked the aide to double-check again, was told that it was simply a misfiring exercise tape, called off the bombers, and went back to bed. That's just one example of many. We have an example on the Soviet side with Stanislav Petrov, who just passed away last year, but he was in a similar situation where Soviet sensors detected incoming American missiles, and he decided not to escalate it to a higher level of decision-making, possibly preventing an all-out nuclear exchange. Nothing like that happened in Hawaii on Saturday, and we're very fortunate for that. The U.S. does have a range of ground, air, space, and sea-based sensors that detect missiles before they can get anywhere close to the U.S. homeland, allowing the United States to retaliate. We knew that wasn't the case on Saturday because Pacific Command, Strategic Command, NORAD, none of them corroborated the alert that went out from the Hawaii government. But I think that is, you know, a reminder. You know, when we think about these Cold War near misses, we think about something like the software error that caused Saturday's incident. It's a reminder that at the end of the day, our decisions about nuclear weapons are entirely governed by man-made systems, man-made sensors, and they're going to be prone to error.
Talk a little bit more about the military role here. You said that all of the relevant military divisions didn't corroborate what was just basically a civil defense warning gone awry. That seems to have helped a lot, but what if this mistake had been elevated to Washington?
Yeah, so that would have required some degree of involvement by Strategic Command, NORAD, for at least the president to get notified. And during this entire episode playing out, President Trump happened to be on the golf course. So yeah, the military would have to be involved at the highest levels to alert the president of an incoming attack. And then, just given the way the system's set up, if the president decided to issue a valid order to retaliate against any adversary, right, even if the adversary was unknown, the president could decide to issue a valid retaliatory order. The entire American nuclear command and control system is designed in a way that would ensure that that order is carried out.
So is this just a Hawaii problem? How many other states have warning systems like this? Lots of places have warning systems for natural disasters and things like that. Could this happen in other places?
So yes and no. I mean, Hawaii is a bit of a special case in that since late 2017, they've been testing their Cold War era emergency alert systems. This includes air raid sirens. This includes emergency notifications, radio broadcasts, TV broadcasts to alert of an incoming ballistic missile threat. North Korea explicitly has said that Pearl Harbor would be a target that they look to strike in a potential future war. They've demonstrated missile capabilities that would allow them to do that. So I think the Hawaii government is taking this very seriously. During the Cold War, obviously, the entire United States was covered in these kinds of early warning networks that have since been turned off. The Civil Defense Project isn't quite what it used to be on the U.S. homeland. The cell phone aspect of this all, the social media aspect of this all is very real. And emergency alerts are obviously ubiquitous. You know, we receive them in big cities these days. We receive Amber Alerts. It is a tempting target for anybody looking to sow mass panic to take control of government emergency alert systems, to send out false alerts to large groups of people, causing them to panic in a way that's very difficult to reverse once it's in motion. So Hawaii is a bit of a special case at the moment, but it's not unimaginable that something like this could happen in the future with a, you know, as a result of direct malice instead of incompetence.
Sure. You know, Ankit, the culture of duck and cover from the Cold War is gone. But so is the social engineering aspect of it, the command and control that governments had to direct citizens' behavior and their attitudes at times like this. We all access this information by ourselves.
Absolutely, we do. And I think with the North Korean threat coming back, a lot of Americans are starting to feel vulnerable to nuclear weapons in a way that they haven't in decades now. And we're at a very dangerous time.
Ankit Panda, senior editor at The Diplomat, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.